Monday, October 12th. Matthew died shortly before 1 a.m. today.
Shepard had been severely beaten, burned, and tied to a fence post in near freezing temperatures outside Laramie, Wyoming.
The point is not all bias crimes or murders.
On behalf of our son, Matthew Shepard, we want to thank the citizens of the United States and the people of the world who have expressed their deepest sympathy and condolences to our family during these trying times.
God hates fast. Why is that so hard for you guys to understand?
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. A frustrated Fiji prosecutor pursues the gay Aussie tourist. Poland's probable PM warns of queer infections and reopening the Book of Matthew 7 years on. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Rick Watts.
And I'm Christopher Gall.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending October 8, 2005. In the South Pacific island nation of Fiji, the government is petitioning that country's high court to retry the gay couple who had earlier this year been convicted of sodomy before the court overturned the law as inconsistent with Fiji's constitution. Australian visitor and retired professor Thomas McCosker and Darenda Nadan, a Fiji native, had been sentenced to 2 years in prison under the law, with the trial judge describing gay sex as something so disgusting it would make any decent person vomit. But now, the Director of Public Prosecutions is asking for a new trial, asserting that High Court Judge Gerald Winter had misinterpreted the Constitution and wrongly found that the Penal Code discriminated against gays and breached their right to privacy. To date, there is no word on whether the government will seek McCosker's extradition from Australia, where he returned following the earlier legal victory. Nor was there word on whether the High Court will agree to the government's petition to retry.
In Australia, the Anti-Discrimination Commission in the state of Tasmania has ordered the Australian Red Cross to defend its ban on gay men donating blood. The commission is investigating a complaint by a gay man who was told that blood from men who have had male-to-male sex within the last 12 months would not be accepted, with the nurse serving him referring to gays as "you people." His complaint alleges that the ban is both discriminatory and unnecessary. Early in the AIDS epidemic, the practice was common in many countries. However, with the advent of HIV viral testing and new knowledge of the means of transmission, coupled with the fact that worldwide most cases of HIV are transmitted via unprotected heterosexual sex, many health authorities now acknowledge that the ban on donations from gay men per se is generally obsolete.
And the upper chamber of the legislature in the Australian state of New South Wales has its first out lesbian. Penny Sharp has filled the seat formerly held by her boss, Carmel Tebbit, when he decided to run for a seat in the lower house. Sharp is open as a lesbian and is in a long-term relationship. Among her goals, she would like to see the Status of Children Act changed so that both partners in gay and lesbian families, not just the biological parent, be legally recognized as the parents.
The man who likely will be Poland's next prime minister called homosexuality unnatural and asserted that the state should intervene if homosexuals try to infect others with their behavior. Kazimierz Marcinkiewicz of the Law and Justice Party told the Polish edition of Newsweek magazine that propagating homosexuality constituted an infringement on the freedom of other people. "It is unnatural. Family is natural, and the state should safeguard the family. If such a person tries to infect others with their homosexuality, then the state has to intervene in such an abuse of freedom." He did not specify what measures he thinks the government should take. Marcinkiewicz's party is now negotiating with the Civic Platform Party to form a government after the two won a combined majority in elections held on September 25th, soundly defeating the incumbent left-wing government led by former communists. In June, Warsaw Mayor Lech Kaczynski, who is Law and Justice's candidate for president, refused permission for a gay rights parade, although more than 2,500 people ignored the order and marched anyway. Police detained 29 people after anti-gay opponents threw eggs and stones at the protesters.
In Rome, the Vatican may be backing off its threatened all-out ban on gay priests, but the conditions may be impossible to meet, The threat arose when Pope Benedict began considering new regulations to that effect, especially once investigators for the church began probing America's 229 seminaries to root out gays. The proposal suggested that gays, even if celibate, should not be considered for the priesthood. Corriere della Sera, an Italian newspaper with close Vatican ties, reported that a total ban on gay priests might be relaxed to permit gays to take their vows, if they can prove they've been celibate for a minimum of 3 years. There was no word on how such proof might be made.
Also from the Vatican, Catholic bishops are meeting to discuss banning pro-gay equality politicians from receiving sacraments. This first synod, led by the new pope, is considering refusing communion to Catholic politicians who support laws that violate church doctrine, including support for legal recognition of same-gender couples, such as Canadian Prime Minister Paul Martin or Spanish Prime Minister José Luis Rodríguez Zapatero, both of whom successfully pushed for ending their country's respective bans on equal marriage rights for same-gender couples. In related development, a recent poll indicates that more than 60% of Spanish citizens are now comfortable with same-gender marriage, notwithstanding strident opposition by the Catholic Church. The poll also said that, by similar margins, Spaniards oppose efforts by the conservative Popular Party, ousted by Zapatero in the last elections, to campaign on that issue to return to power.
Singer Elton John has donated $25,000 to the Blue Diamond Society, the only gay civil rights group in the Himalayan mountain kingdom of Nepal. Much of the money will go for the organization's work with people afflicted with HIV/AIDS. The rest will be spent on political activities and education.
In Pakistan, a gay couple who exchanged vows in a traditional ceremony has been told by village elders to leave the country or be killed. The Times of India reports that the two wed in a remote village near the famed Khyber Pass after the 42-year-old Afghan refugee fell in love with a 16-year-old villager and offered his family a dowry of 40,000 rupees, about $650, a sum the family readily accepted. Although arranged marriages are common in Pakistan, this is the first known where another male was involved. Upon learning that the ceremony, which was held with the usual pomp and circumstance, involved two men, village elder Malat Khan left the party. A tribal assembly, or jirga, then told the newlyweds to leave the area immediately or face death for breaking all the religious and tribal values and ethics, said Khan. Sodomy is punishable by death in Pakistan.
And finally this week, an accidental switch of DVDs has conservative Mormons fuming. Two Utah families discovered the problem after purchasing at the church-owned Deseret Bookstores Sons of Provo, a chronicle of the life of a Mormon boy band on its journey to stardom. What the families got instead, they discovered, was Adored, Diary of a Porn Star, an unrated independent film about the life of a gay porn star. Although the film is not pornographic in the normal sense, it does contain sexual situations. According to sources, the mix-up occurred at the Los Angeles-based packaging company used by both film companies. The company is offering $100 to the owner of every Sons of Provo DVD that instead contains Adored, Diary of a Porn Star, and is donating $100 per such copy to CP80, an anti-pornography group.
That's News Wrap for the week ending October 8th, 2005. Written this week by Rick Watts and Lucia Chappell and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Rick Watts.
And I'm Christopher Gall.
You're listening to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine brought to you by you. Your charitable donations keep this program on the air. We've produced some special CDs to say thank you to our supporters, featuring queer history, reviews of LGBT music, and behind-the-scenes looks at relevant movies and TV shows. You can also now get CDs of our regular program by subscription, and be sure you never miss a week of This Way Out. For all the details, please visit our website at thiswayout.org. You can also demonstrate your solidarity by taking part in an online benefit auction. Look for the This Way Out area at alternabid.com. Again, to find out more about special CD thank you gifts, subscriptions, and the auction, please do log on to thiswayout.org, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA.
Hello, this is Judy Shepherd, the executive director of the Matthew Shepherd Foundation and the mother of Matthew Shepherd. And you are listening to This Way Out, the international radio magazine for all our sexually diverse communities.
It was not the first time a gay, lesbian, bi, or trans person had fallen victim to brutally fatal homophobia, and it certainly was not the last. The headline-grabbing Gwen Araujo homicide and the execution of two teenagers in Iran are but two recent examples. But 7 years ago this week, there was something about the murder of a fair-haired youth on a lonely Wyoming road that made Matthew Shepherd's death the gay bashing heard round the world. This Way Out collected the sounds of outrage and response that followed the tragedy in an extended report we call The Book of Matthew, originally broadcast the week of October 19, 1998.
This is Poudre Valley Hospital with a final update on Matthew Shepherd, Monday, October 12. Matthew died shortly before 1 a.m. today as a result of injuries he sustained last week.
At dozens of unprecedented marches, memorial services, and candlelight vigils held across the U.S. last week, with more scheduled in the coming week, gays and lesbians and a number of non-gay people have reacted to the brutal gay-bashing death of University of Wyoming student Matthew Shepherd with shock, grief, and anger. We'll visit Washington, D.C., West Hollywood, California, and Madison, Wisconsin to sample some of those events and pay our respects, unlike a handful of religious extremists, at Matthew's funeral in Casper, Wyoming. But we begin with the details of the crime itself and some of the issues it raises in this report by Verna Avery Brown.
In what appears to have been an anti-gay hate crime, the 5 foot, 2 inch, 105-pound Shepherd had been severely beaten, burned, and tied to a fence post in near freezing temperatures last Wednesday outside Laramie, Wyoming. State officials now say two men, Aaron McKinney and Russell Henderson, will face murder charges for the attack, and their girlfriends are likely to be charged as accessories. The father of one of the suspects told the Denver Post that his son, Aaron McKinney, never set out to kill Shepherd, but instead wanted to get back at Shepherd for making a pass at his son in front of his friends at a campus bar.
Knowing that, I find it hard to believe that he would do that if he had not been led to believe that the individuals were gay.
Jim Osborne, chair of the Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgendered Association, a group established as a safe haven on campus for gays and lesbians.
Matt was a kind, caring, respectful individual. He was not flirtatious, or he was not the type of guy to go out and look for a one-night stand. That just was not Matt.
Wyoming is one of nine states that have not passed hate crime legislation. Wyoming Governor Jim Geringer, who in the past has neither supported nor opposed such bills, revisited the issue.
We're very open to changing our law where it's not strict enough or where it's not comprehensive enough. We could enhance penalties, but how do you enhance the penalty when a death has occurred? If capital punishment is the result, how do you enhance that? Our laws already cover that, so I'm not sure what we would add.
The point is not all bias crimes are murders.
Wyoming State Legislator Mike Massey is co-sponsor of the bias crime bill, which has failed several times in the state legislature.
This one was terrible, but it's not the only type of bias crimes that occur in Wyoming, just like anywhere else in the country. It occurs day in and day out. An African-American man one time was run off his bicycle up near Jackson. Some teachers who are minority teachers have had desks thrown at them by students. And I would imagine that 90% of the bias crimes don't end up in murder. And as a result, an enhanced penalty would have quite an effect.
Lori Jean of the Los Angeles Gay and Lesbian Center says at least some of the responsibility for the rising violence against gays and lesbians rests with the bogus cure claims of the religious right.
So-called family values organizations spend millions of dollars on anti-gay campaigns promoting that homosexuality is an abhorrent behavior that can and should be changed, that are viewed as quackery by every reputable medical establishment from the American Medical Association on down. Campaigns which help to foster an environment that allows some people to kill another person simply because he is gay.
We were incredibly shocked and disgusted at the Matthew Shepard death and the way that he was killed.
Tony Verona, legal counsel with the Human Rights Campaign, the country's largest lesbo-gay political group.
But what is most sad is that we were not surprised, given that gay people are at the brunt of anti-gay hate crimes all the time. They are actually, I think it's something like 12% of all reported hate crimes are anti-gay hate crimes. So there are hundreds and thousands of Matthews out there that are victims of hate crimes or are no longer with us, given that they have been killed just because they had the courage to say, I am gay or I am lesbian.
We have to have the will of our political leaders to get into the high schools.
Again, Lori Jean.
That's where we need to be doing the education. And the instant you start talking about doing education in the high schools, that will prevent youth from committing anti-gay hate crimes. There are some people who get scared, but that's where we've got to start.
We are here to express three equally important emotions. Terrible sorrow, deep anger, and absolute and unshakable determination.
Openly gay Congressman Barney Frank of Massachusetts, pioneering comedian Ellen DeGeneres, and Shepard's best friend Walter Bowden were among the speakers at a candlelight vigil held on the steps of the Capitol building in Washington, D.C.
There are people who make excuses for these murderers. There are people who will go to the polls and vote against a violent hate crime statute and against allowing the schools to play the role they ought to play in fighting this vicious prejudice. And the sad fact is they will go to the polls in greater number than many of us will. So one of the things you can do between now and November is this. Make sure that you and everyone who cares for you, everyone who expresses to you their horror and sympathy and disgust at this brutal murder, make sure that they take the time and trouble between now and November to find out the position on gay and lesbian fairness and equality of every single individual on that ballot and get out there, and we can protect ourselves with our vote in November.
I know we all feel the same way, and I'm here, and I'm, you know, he's got these two close friends here, and I don't even know him, and I'm thinking this is just really selfish of me. I mean, what, pull yourself together, and it just hit me why I am so devastated by it. It's because this is what I was trying to stop. This is exactly why I did what I did.
Just a week before he was so savagely tortured and murdered, Matt told me how happy he was to be back home, how comfortable he felt in Laramie, and how safe he felt there compared to the big city. I was so happy to hear that because I had encouraged Matt to come home. Matt's sense of safety was betrayed by every legislator in Wyoming and in this nation who has ever opposed or voted against hate crime legislation over the last year.
Comments by some of those participating in a candlelight vigil in West Hollywood, California, reflected the anger and renewed fears felt everywhere. And a march and rally in Madison, Wisconsin, exemplified the reaffirmation of community that was also widely expressed.
I've been thrown eggs at walking down the street. I've been bashed all through my, you know, childhood at school.
Once I was almost assaulted by this man. He was standing across the street. I was with a girl I was with at the time, and he started screaming obscenities to us, and he started saying he was going to come across the street. It was very scary. So the precautions I have to take, they're very sad because it really limits me. I can't be affectionate in public. It's gotten to the point that, you know, people that I have been with have been complaining, you know, you're not affectionate, you're not affectionate. And I'm afraid to be. And it limits me. It limits me so much. It depresses me sometimes. And I think, God, you know, I said, why do I have to be this way? And then I think, no, why do they have to be that way?
I'm upset and saddened by what happened to this young boy, but I'm also angered by the fact that we have leaders in our Congress that equate us to kleptomaniacs and to people with various addictions, you know, just because we're gay. And that angers me and upsets me. And I believe that those people are really responsible, as much as the two men and the two girls that were charged. Those people in our Congress that support this kind of hatred, even though they may not support the violence, they support the hatred.
Less than 2 days after University of Wyoming student Matthew Shepard died from wounds suffered in a horrific gay bashing,
Hundreds gathered on the library mall at the University of Wisconsin to express anger, grief, and a resolve that the climate of hatred and fear that produced his death must end. On a windy, cold Wisconsin night, people young and old, gay and straight, drew warmth and comfort from one another. Holding each other tight and bathed in the light of candles, they marched solemnly up State Street, their ranks stretching for several blocks, a portrait of Matthew Shepard held high above the crowd.
All I can think of is the importance of our honesty, of our openness, of our visibility, of us using our voices to speak loudly and clearly and unequivocally about who we are, and supporting one another. Silence is death.
Rally concluded, and several dozen of us lingered in the dark and cold. We were reminded of the source of our strength, the special sense of love and community that we share. At the base of the Capitol steps was a makeshift monument to Matthew, built around his portrait, elegant and eloquent in its simplicity. One by one, as people left the rally, they added their candles to a glowing assemblage. Clustered around it, our bodies blocked the wind, allowing the candles to burn brightly, even while we basked in the warmth of their glow. This is John Quinlan reporting.
We should try to remember that because Matt's last few minutes of consciousness on Earth may have been hell, his family and friends want more than ever to say their farewells to him in a peaceful, dignified, and loving manner.
What seemed like a simple request by Matthew's father, Dick Shepard, before the funeral in Casper, Wyoming, during which one of Matthew's cousins read a poem she had written for him, was disregarded by a handful of religious extremists from Texas and Kansas.
God hates fags. Why is that so hard for you guys to understand?
He lived in shame, he died in shame. I mean, it's not okay to be gay. I mean, it's a soul-damning, nation-destroying lifestyle.
If you guys don't recognize him as a human being, then you don't need to be out here.
We're offended that the state of Wyoming and the governor would say to this public school system here in Casper, Wyoming, to fly their flags at half-mast to honor this sodomite. No Christian person that's got any feelings at all would ever condone such a brutal killing of anyone, not even an animal. But we're here today to say that God hates the sin of sodomy.
I think this is rude. I think it is so disrespectful to come to a young man's funeral.
On behalf of our son, Matthew Shepard, we want to thank the citizens of the United States and the people of the world who have expressed their deepest sympathy and condolences to our family during these trying times. A person as caring and loving as our son Matt would be overwhelmed by what this incident has done to the hearts and souls of people around the world. Matthew was the type of person that, if this had happened to another person, would have been the first on the scene to offer his help, his hope, and his heart to the family.
Maddie, I love you with all of my heart. I wish you only knew how much. You'll be happier with this brand new start. The world's hearts you now have touched.
One of the lingering questions that surrounds the death of Matthew Shepard is, why now? Why has the hate murder of a young gay man gone to the hearts of so many across the country when so many deadly bias crimes go unnoticed? Some say that it is the increased visibility of gays and lesbians as real people rather than stereotypes. Some credit it to Shepard's innocent boy-next-door persona, contrasted with the unsettling image of the scarecrow lashed to a fence. Some point out that neither of these rationales are proof of a newfound compassion for gays and lesbians. Instead, they betray the still deep-seated biases against the other in our society. The measure by which people qualify as real is relative, and the privileged white college student does not, in fact, live next door to everybody. Perhaps the real question is why the murder of Matthew Shepard attracted the attention of the national mainstream media. People cannot react to a situation they do not know about, and few of the violent homophobic hate crimes that happen week after week, month after month, receive the spotlight granted the Shepard case. Perhaps it is the media that determines whose horror is horrible enough to reach an audience already numbed to the run-of-the-mill blood and gore, already set in its ways regarding who will be a victim deserving of sympathy. And perhaps, if more of the faces on the statistics of anti-lesbian hate crime passed muster for America's television cameras, there would be an outpouring of commitment to stop the violence, rather than an all too easily forgotten outpouring of tears for a single slaughtered human symbol in Wyoming. With Greg Gordon, I'm Lucia Chappell for This Way Out.
I watch the doorway, I watch my back. I have no connections, no inside track. I've lost the innocence, the great surprise. And I have seen the questions behind your eyes. In the darkness, in the desert, in the stark of the night, in the ways that we look at each other, in the shifting, in the settling, in the cracks in the light, in the ways we don't look at each
From This Way Out, the week of October 19th, 1998, you've been listening to The Book of Matthew, a special rebroadcast commemorating the 7th anniversary of the murder of Matthew Shepard. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. This week, Rick Watts, Christopher Gall, Graham Underhill, Rex Walkner, and Lucia Chappell contributed program material. Blackberry and Chris Williamson and Trett Furey performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Don't forget you can listen online to This Way Out, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, www.thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are underwritten by a grant from the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation and through direct charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. Please log on to thiswayout.org to find out how you can help keep this program on the air, to sign up for our monthly emailed This Way Out updates, and or to get our weekly program information messages, please email tworadio@aol.com. And remember, you can subscribe to audio CDs of our program so you won't miss a week of This Way Out. For all the details, please do log on to thiswayout.org, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening on 2BAY, Byron Bay, New South Wales, Free Radio San Diego, San Diego, California, WERU, Bangor and Blue Hill Falls, Maine, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Do stay tuned.